Today's episode of the Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Iowa Pork. Need something to put on the grill, in your smoker, in the slow cooker, whatever it is this weekend, Iowa Pork always has the perfect option, whether it's a pork chop, maybe a pork roast, maybe some ribs. Iowa Pork, the presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast. This podcast is the part two of the continuing series I recorded with Jay Jordan earlier this week, breaking down the Iowa State football schedule. In this game, or in this podcast, we go through games 4, 5, and 6. And I think that it's just as good as part one. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Joined now here on the Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast, presented by our friends at Iowa Pork, by Cyclone Fanatic contributor Jay Jordan. What's up, man? Part two of our little podcast series we're doing here. We're going to be a four-parter, kind of.
Well, that's the way the seasons break down, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I hope you're enjoying your weekend here so far.
I am. Getting some rest and relax time. Excited for Big 12 Media Days next week.
Yeah, for sure. I know that everybody up here is excited, too. All right, so, you know, you're starting off here in part two, game number four. We went over the first three games of the season for the Cyclones in our podcast that we did earlier this week. Game number four, it's the Akron Zips and a team that Iowa State beat pretty, you know, I guess it was kind of, I don't know how to put it. I mean, it was kind of close for a little bit, but it was a game that never really felt like it was in doubt, I guess. And then it also kind of ended up being the end of the Jacob Park era. So I mean, I don't even know how to use that game from last year and bring it forward. I mean, is Akron going to be better, or do you think this is a game that Iowa State should have a pretty heavy advantage in?
I think Iowa State's better than they were last year, and Akron will be worse than they were last year. And I think there's a sizable gap there. I mean, Akron went on and won the MAC East last year. They were not a terrible team. They won't be terrible defensively. They have a really strong secondary and back seven, and they get most of their two deep back there. But offensively, they lost all their playmakers and a majority of their offensive line. They return a quarterback, but that's it. So that's not the type of team that's going to rise up and be a threat to this Iowa State defense, in my opinion.
What do you think is going to be the biggest thing that Iowa State can get out of this game, or what's like the biggest key for them? I mean, like you said, they have a pretty heavy advantage just in the pure talent standpoint, but where do you think that's going to be most clearly exhibited?
So this is something that I was thinking about. Just if you're the coach and you're looking at your schedule and kind of planning your team and how you're going to progress it through the year, you progress towards certain games. You may be installing things along the way to reveal in certain games or schematics or different players. So we look at our first three games. Two of those first three are juggernaut games, right?
Yeah.
Big time games. Now we get Akron, and the next two we'll talk about are big juggernaut games. I mean, this schedule is a beast to manage. So you have to take advantage of what the Akron game presents, which is you got to drive the nail in quick, and you can't make it as competitive as Akron could make it if you're not on your game. But one of the things that I think is interesting to note is we've got the new rule, right, where a redshirt isn't burned till the fifth game.
Yeah.
So to me, what that gives you with a guy like Real Mitchell or maybe there's Sean Shaw or some of the other Joey Ramos, maybe a couple of the other
Trevor Downing.
Trevor Downing, a couple of the other boy, that's good to throw out two offensive linemen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some of the freshmen who we think may be emerging this summer or may be emerging. You've got three games under your belt. Maybe you've gotten a little bit of time for those guys, but those guys have developed to a level where I want to get them significant snaps in this game. I want to take those young guys and say, okay, if I've got four games and I want to use these guys progressively and as they go through the season, be able to add some features to my offense and some features to my defense as we go along, this would be a great game to put those players in a position of responsibility and see how they respond and see what may or may not work. The other thing I like about this game is last year, our most creative running package on offense was deployed against Akron. Mm-hmm. I hate it that was against Akron and not against somebody else. But it gives us an opportunity to utilize some special packages that we may have been working on that I hope they use and they probably will need to use in the previous two games. But we'll set them up to run through what is a really difficult gauntlet in the three games after Akron.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing about this Akron game is it just gives – hopefully it can kind of just give them an opportunity to, like, take a breath, you know. You go back-to-back Iowa, Oklahoma, and then you go back-to-back TCU, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia, and you know, back-to-back-to-back right there. That's
Bingo.
I mean, that's a freaking gauntlet, dude. And if you can come out and jump up on Akron and be up 21-0, 28-0, like at the end of the first quarter, halfway through the second quarter – That sounds like the perfect opportunity for you to get some of those guys like a Ray Lima and a Julian Good-Jones and some of those dudes who are really important to the, you know, to what your team's going to be doing in the weeks ahead. Get them off the field and let some other dudes get an opportunity to show what they can do and against an opponent that maybe isn't quite at the same caliber as the rest of the schedule.
Right. I don't think I've seen a schedule or analyzed a schedule where I've been so, I don't know what the right word is, kind of keyed up and intense about what needs to be done early on in constructing your team. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes in college football, it takes two or three games for everybody to kind of get on the same page and start to roll. Getting off to a fast start couldn't be more critical this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that means everything needs to be planned. You need to be hitting it, and you need to be disciplined right away in order to have a chance to get off to a solid start on this schedule. Akron is probably the worst team we'll play.
I'll put it this way.
I don't know if they're worse than Kansas or not.
Do you think South Dakota State would beat Akron?
Yeah.
Do you think South Dakota State would beat Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I do. I think South Dakota State, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be gay. They have some problems and some things that they need to fix. They might not be quite as good as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they're losing NFL tight end and program record holding receiver, so they've got to figure that out. But South Dakota State, I put because of their system and because of their history of success, yeah, they're as good as Kansas and they're as good as Akron.
Okay. Yeah.
So I
was just trying to put that in context, I guess.
Yeah. So Akron gives us that opportunity to tool, to experiment a little bit, to get a few guys some rest, and most importantly, get some really important reps and preparation time for some young players that we are probably going to want to incorporate and utilize in special situations in those games you just mentioned.
All right, so wrapping out the month of September, got to go on the road to Fort Worth to take on TCU. TCU is a team that I think is kind of interesting. I think they're one of the more unknown teams in the league going into the season. I mean, you lose Kenny Hill, so you're going to have a new starting quarterback. You know that they're going to be good defensively, then that's just because they're always good defensively. What are you looking at with this TCU team? What are you expecting them to be, I suppose?
You know, when we talked a while back, mm-hmm. I was not terribly high on them. The more I prepared for writing the speculative, which understand all this stuff is very speculative. The speculative preview, the better I like them. I can't figure out. So this is the question I ask myself, and you'll see in the article is, so their primary question mark is having an inexperienced quarterback who may or may not struggle with turnovers and have to rely on his physical ability and running ability to make things work. Right. Isn't that the same question we had last year with
true.
Kenny Hill?
Yeah, true.
So I'm not sure they've got a downgrade with the new quarterback because Kenny Hill, they had to manage Kenny Hill to keep him from killing them like he did the year before. And that worked for them because they were really strong in the running game. They're going to be really strong in the running game. They have to replace three offensive linemen. One of them is former Iowa State target Anthony McKinney from Iowa Western, who will probably start for him. And the other two guys are sophomores, you know, 2 or 3 year guys in the program who are very highly touted. It's kind of similar to Iowa State's situation with talented guys moving in. The two guys they have coming back are outstanding lights out linemen. They'll be fine in their running game. They're going to run the ball. And Sean Robinson is 6'2", 225, fast, and can run the ball. When he played against, he got the start against Texas Tech, he was obviously a very underwhelming passer. But if that gets a little bit better, they used some really just pure speed option stuff with him, and he was very effective with it because he's just a big beast. It's kind of like Ellinger. He can run over people, and he's dynamic. But I think the quarterback situation is less of a road bump for them because they didn't really have that much there the year before. Everything else is either a half a step better or just the same as it was last year. So that tells you, I mean, they've won 11 games 3 of the last 4 years.
True.
They'll probably do it again.
Do you envision this one being more high scoring than last year's? I mean, obviously the final score was 14-7 and TCU didn't score an offensive touchdown. Do you think it'll be that kind of game again, or do you see it being a little bit more up and down than maybe it was at Jack Trice last fall?
I think it'll be more up and down. I think Patterson will have a better idea, and Cumbie, which is a great brain trust, will have a better idea of what to do against the Iowa State defense. Iowa State will have a little bit more difficult time hanging with some of the speed. Jalen Rager's just a fantastic wide receiver who was non-existent in last year's game, and I don't think they'll be able to keep him out of it. Robinson will create issues in containment. So I think that they'll score. But I also think we can score. We did a little bit last year. We couldn't run the ball at all. And that'll be, once again, you know, sound like old school coach guy here, but you gotta run and stop the run. If Iowa State can, you know, now we're in the fifth game of the year, the offensive line should be in a good position and moving forward. And once again, if we can run and control the ball like we did last year, then yeah, I expect a similar contest, maybe with a few more points scored.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game's interesting to me because it feels like Iowa State never plays well when they go down to Fort Worth. At least they haven't here recently. I mean, there's the one game, what they lose by 60 points the year that TCU was – you know, right on the edge of making to the playoff. The last time they went down there, I think they were okay, but Iowa State was never really in the game. So that one kind of scares me just because it's like there's something about when they go to Fort Worth that it seems like they don't play very well.
The last time I went to a game at TCU, it was the, let's see, Knott and Klein were the linebackers. Irving was on the D-line, and we kicked their butt that day.
Yeah, that was 2012?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I'll be there this year, nice. So I'm expecting the same as 2012.
There you go. Hey, I'll make sure and let them know. I'll tell them.
Yeah, do that.
There's a lot of pressure on you guys for this one. Yeah.
Yes, this one has to go the same way the other one did. Now, Fort Worth's a tough place to play. Most notably because it's generally hot.
Yeah.
Which matters.
Well, and for the amount of success that program's had, it seems like there's like nobody there sometimes.
That's very true. It's an aristocratic crowd, and that's true.
And man, are you going to fit in with them?
No, I don't fit in very well. But I have a lot of good friends who are big TCU boosters, so it's good to go back and forth and to have that game nearby where I can get over there. But they I expect them to be a really good team. But here's something interesting, Jared, is I wrote down, I mean, so we beat TCU and we beat Oklahoma in 2017, both ranked in the top five, two participants in the championship game. Did it feel in either of those games like those were flukes?
No.
Did it feel or does it feel going into this season like we're outclassed?
No, definitely not.
So this schedule stinks in the way that it's mashed together here at the beginning.
But yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, if it was more spread out where you get some of these teams with some breaks, maybe you play Texas Tech in there and, you know, maybe throw Kansas a little higher up there. I would feel better about it. But the fact that you just play these teams just boom, 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 little break, boom, 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 then it's just like, damn, man, this is – I mean, that wears on you, you know. Like, that's a lot of good teams right in a row in the first six games.
Yeah, I wrote down three things that are really key for the season, the three M's: multiple, mobility, and mentality. Multiple. We need to be able to run, and we need to freaking use our tight end finally. By the way, that's going to be my key to the game against TCU, is use our tight end in the matchups because they're exploitable. Use three and four down linemen. Be multiple. Move the ball around. Give different looks throughout the course of a game. That will be key when you're playing these type of opponents right out of the bat and the way the schedule sets up. Mobility. Primarily, every team we've played, with the exception of Iowa so far, has a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Completely opposite of last year. Last year, we could sit in that zone because we didn't have a massive run threat at quarterback on a week-to-week basis. This year, South Dakota State has a mobile quarterback. Iowa does not. Oklahoma's got a very mobile quarterback. Akron's got a mobile quarterback. TCU, mobile quarterback. We have got to be able to contain mobility, and then we've got to be more mobile on offense by getting to the edges and using the speed components that we have that we haven't had in the future. And then what you're just talking about is mentality, and that's kind of that whole being intense about this first part of the season, is they have got to have their mental game on right away. And it could be a huge advantage to have to have had to focus and slug it out early in the season, because you're more prepared for it on a week-to-week basis than maybe the other teams are.
Mm-hmm.
TCU's, we don't necessarily have that same luxury. They've got a very similar schedule to ours. They play Ohio State in Dallas, I think in week two, maybe week three, and then they play Texas the week before they play us. So those are two big-time games, just like we've played a couple of big-time games ourselves headed into that. But I still don't feel like they're – I feel like they could make the playoff run just as easy as Oklahoma could. But I don't think either one of those teams outclass Iowa State, nor should either one of them overlook Iowa State, nor should we as fans automatically count those games as losses.
Yeah, I know you tweeted this out. I don't know if it was after Jairo Brock committed or if it was after Caleb Johnson or which one. I mean, there's been so many commitments lately, but I mean, you said something along the lines of how the talent gap is kind of closing between these top teams and Iowa State. And I mean, I think this season you're really going to start to see that. I mean, you did a little bit last year, but this is the year when it's going to become even more and more apparent. And then, you know, moving into 2019, 2020, then it'll, you know, we'll really look at it and it's like, okay, like these teams are, you know, Oklahoma and is always going to go and get the five-star guys, but Iowa State is a hell of a lot closer to the, from top to bottom talent to their roster than they probably have ever been. And, I mean, I, that just speaks a lot to what they've been able to, the staff has been able to do in bringing in guys in the last couple of years and then being able to develop them as well. So, like I said, I think we're going to see that a lot in that Oklahoma game, and I think we're going to see it a lot in this TCU game and then even going to the next week against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and Oklahoma State's like TCU and Oklahoma both have questions, but they return enough and look enough like the teams they were last year to think that they're going to have similar success. Oklahoma State is another rung, a rung or two below that for me. They're talented. Justice Hill is probably one of the only running backs in the country that I'll say is as good or better than Montgomery. I like Justice Hill a lot. Their offensive line is okay. They've got McCleskey back at wide receiver, and they have decent talent on their team. But who's playing quarterback there? And I think there's a bigger drop off from Mason Rudolph and what he was able to do for the years he started, and what they're going to be able to put in place at Oklahoma State. I'm not sure who the guy is going to be. It's going to be grad transfer or a true freshman or a longtime backup. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I just think it changes the way that they play.
Right.
And then they also have a new defensive coordinator. They're switching to a 4-2-5. Oklahoma State's always been a turn you over type defense, but very exploitable. Going to a new system, teaching a new system, that's probably better for their personnel. But I'm not expecting that 10 win juggernaut to just continue. I think this team is on par with us or maybe even a step below.
Why have they not been able to parlay the success that they've had into more? I don't know how to put it. I mean, you know, you see their athletic director come out and say that Mike Gundy should be recruiting better. They had those couple years when they were, you know, right there in the top five and competing to go and play for the national championship. And I mean, it doesn't seem like they were ever able to turn that momentum into anything. It just like they kind of just hit a wall, and now they're a solid program, but it's like they've fallen back a little bit. They've gone from, you know, pushing their way into that top tier of the Big 12 to falling back again into that second tier. Why do you think that is?
I don't know what the disconnect is there, but there is one. And, you know, the last 2 years where Iowa State has just barely been beaten by a team, you know, that for all intents and purposes was supposed to outclass them, plays into that. There's always this disconnect between offense and defense there, which I think originates with Coach Gundy. I think they recruit just fine. But they're a system. And that system doesn't emphasize defense to the level that it should. And the offense, I mean, their offense never really struggles. They struggled against Texas last year, which my preview will make clear. But for the most part, the offense is the offense, and that style of play, they recruit to it, they play to it, and there's something in their mentality that doesn't allow them to get over that hump. And the biggest problem for them is they can't beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does something to them. We know what it's like to not be able to beat our in-state rival.
Right.
And it puts it's a little something that you got to get over. It's a hump that you've got to get over. And you only get over by having wins in big games. And when they've had the chance these last few years to propel themselves forward onto that national stage, they failed in Bedlam. And until they figure out how to not fail in Bedlam, I think, you know, not like it's bad. I'd take 8 to 11 wins a year.
Right.
I've got no problem with that. So it's not bad. But does it mean that they're a team that we market in the L column automatically? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is – I look at that game, and I think that's one that Iowa State should win. I mean, that's just based on – you know, watching them last year, knowing what that team lost, knowing what Iowa State brings back, that feels like a game that Iowa State's going to have circled on their schedule a little bit, knowing the way that one ended as well.
Well, they should. If you go back and watch last year's game, then that's more than any other game. That's one Iowa State just pissed down their leg.
Yeah,
because they had that game. They were decisively ahead. They were doing the right things, and they made some bad plays, some bad reads on defense that allowed them a foothold. But that was a game that Iowa State let get away last year that should have been in the win column, absolutely. The year before too, but last year in particular, and they should have that game circled. It's at home. They should. Or wait, no, this one's on the road.
It's in Stillwater, yeah.
Yeah, well, they play well in Stillwater, mm-hmm. and I'm not worried about that. So they should absolutely walk into that game thinking we're the better team here.
Maybe whoever the new Big 12 director of officials is will make sure that the officiating crew knows that dual possession goes to the receiver.
That'll be a tough one. I imagine we'll have many more issues with that. I hope the margin of the games are such that it matters less.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. That's the end of our second quarter of our previews. I'm sure I'll talk to you again here soon so we can go through the rest of the schedule. Thanks for everything you do for us, dude. We really appreciate your contributions to Cyclone Fanatic, and I know that everybody's been loving reading your previews here over the last few weeks.
Well, I certainly enjoy the platform and the opportunity just to put all my crazy thoughts down in writing. So you guys take care, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon with the season coming up.
Yep, for sure, man. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Thanks again to Jay Jordan for joining me to talk about the Iowa State football schedule earlier this week. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, today's Saturday podcast is brought to you by our friends at Iowa Pork. Ribs, pork chops, roast, whatever. If you're chilling on this Saturday night, this Sunday night, and you need something to cook up for dinner, throw on the grill or put in your smoker, Iowa Pork is going to have an option for literally anybody in your family. And it always is going to be absolutely delicious. I can promise you that. So thanks for tuning in to today's Saturday podcast, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. Peace.